I'm Bill Littlefield, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know.
And I'm so happy for Loyola, for my congregation, for the city of Chicago.
That, of course, is Sister Jean, the 98-year-old chaplain for the Loyola Chicago men's basketball team, and she was speaking after her 11th-seeded Ramblers punched a ticket to the Final Four, and that's where we're going to begin this week. I'm joined by Olivia Christian, executive producer and host of The Game Last Night, and by Chris Herring from ESPN's 538. Welcome to both of you.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
As you know, one of the stars of the men's basketball tournament has been a woman, Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt, and she's got the merchandise to prove it. The T-shirts featuring her favorite slogan, the Sister Jean socks, and of course, the Sister Jean bobblehead. Some of the money from the sales of that bobblehead will go to Sister Jean's Sisters of Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but the rest of the proceeds will enrich the Loyola Athletic Fund. Am I the only one of the three of us who's a little uncomfortable with merchandising a 98-year-old nun on behalf of an athletic department?
I don't think it's a problem. I think her notoriety came as a direct result of her fandom. And I just think this is a natural progression. Now when we see things become viral, we get a lot of attention, the first two thoughts that come to mind are, can I make a meme out of this or can I take it into merchandise? Mm. I'm sure she blessed this whole fundraising effort. I don't know if nuns really bless things, but if they did, I'm sure she's all for it. It'd be more surprising to me if the NCAA didn't find a reason to take a little slice of it.
Is there anybody that's better at making an enterprise out of something than the NCAA at this point? I have been kind of in love with this whole journey that they've been on, mostly because of Sister Jean. I went to Michigan, and so I have really no interest in Loyola. but honestly, the farther this went, you kind of could see that something was going to come of it. I mean, more people know her name than any player on this team. I kind of feel like no matter when we go into these sorts of things, whether it's someone funny from a community debate as far as a presidential election is concerned with Ken Bone or something like that, there's always something extra that happens that takes it one step over the line that makes it uncomfortable. And I kind of think this is that example.
Well, I want to be clear on this. I have nothing bad to say about Sister Jean. I just don't like to see her image being used to funnel ever more money into an enterprise that's built on unpaid labor and a big book full of rules that range from stupid to oppressive.
That's where I'm at, too. I don't have any issue with her. I love her. She's the one thing that I will always be in support of, you know, until further notice, unless something weird was to come out. I don't think that'll happen with a nun. But I'm uncomfortable, at least a little bit uncomfortable with the idea of the NCAA finding another way and another reason to make money off something that you would like to think of as pure, especially when the players are not making that money and that they're being scrutinized for a $40 dinner or something like that.
Olivia, your turn.
Well, I'm excited about opening weekend for Major League Baseball. I know a lot of baseball fans get excited by the crack of the bat and the smell of grass. I personally get excited by the smell of boiling hot dogs and like layered by flavor cotton candy. But as someone who has a hard time separating politics from anything, really, my sock drawers, super diverse. My teddy bear has a gender neutral name. I can't watch baseball and ignore the last names on the back of these jerseys, mostly Latin names, players from Puerto Rico whose families or extended families are still suffering from Hurricane Maria, or other players that are coming from all over the world, escaping war and famine, drug-related violence and dictators. And I wonder if fans of America's pastime, if they view these immigrants in the same vein as they see lawyers, doctors, professors, or migrant workers that have come to this country for the same reason, better opportunities and looking for a better life. Are they thought of as being the good immigrants because they play for their team, they're rooting for them? Or am I crazy for taking it this deep over baseball?
I think that really, and I think it's sad, I think a lot of people are able to make the separation. Carlos Correa, for instance, after the World Series, decided not to go to the White House and basically didn't ever say anything directly about Donald Trump, but basically said, you know, I want to be there for Puerto Rico in the wake of what just happened. And that's what he feels like is his real life duty to take care of after the baseball season is over. And I think that a lot of people were not concerned with that. A lot of people were in support of Donald Trump really kind of dragging his feet with regards to helping Puerto Rico and actually in some ways talking down about it. And so I think a lot of people are able to separate those things, which I don't know that you should do that. And I don't think that it's right to do that.
Well, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to agree that a lot of people make a separation, and it isn't just a contemporary story. There are all kinds of stories of black players, Hispanic players who say they cheer for me in the ballpark, but when we're out of the ballpark, they cross the street to avoid me. That's something that I started hearing many years ago. I hope it's less true now. That's all I can do is hope it's less true. And Olivia, I hope that is something at least.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I wonder if they ever really do some introspection. You know, like I said, I can't separate it, even though I'm a big sports fan, a fan of the big three or the big six, if you want to take it to hockey and tennis as well.
What about soccer?
Soccer. I'm not anti-soccer. But in any case,
note to producer, this woman is not to be invited back on the program.
Like I said, it's hard for me to separate the two. I mean, politics and sports have always been intertwined. We can look back in history with Muhammad Ali and other players who have come out and were hated and told to shut up and play.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder if we get to a point where we have so many examples that we can point to from, you know, the civil rights era leading to today, where we could say asking people to shut up and play doesn't make any sense. And the fact that they can use their platform to further a cause, to bring attention to something as challenging as the cleanup in Puerto Rico has been, I think is important. But it's upon us as viewers to want that from our players. And so I hope baseball fans see them as complete human beings that should not just be cheered for, but their causes to be taken into consideration.
I think that's a terrific opening day sentiment. Chris, your turn.
So mine, not nearly as deep as those first two, and it makes me feel bad a little bit almost. But, you know, one thing I wrote about earlier was about the Indiana Pacers, probably the biggest surprise that you have in the NBA this year. They traded away their best player, got back what many people thought was a horrible return on that trade, and actually at this point are still vying for the third best record in the Eastern Conference and are doing it in a way that is totally different from what the Warriors are doing and what the Houston Rockets are doing, where those teams take a ton of threes. What the Pacers have actually done is tried to take advantage of what is viewed as the most inefficient shot in basketball, which is the mid-range shot that only gets you 2 points. Basically, they're saying if defenses are going to let us take this shot, we're more than happy to do it, in part because that's kind of one of the only advantages they have compared to other teams. And so they're kind of going backwards in a lot of ways, but they found a lot of success with it, at least to this point.
All right, Olivia, surprise is good. Different is good. Has Chris convinced you to be a Pacers fan?
No, but I do recognize, I'm not hating on the Pacers, but I do recognize they are approaching the game a lot differently, untraditionally, taking those shots that players really sag on. And that's great. And I think it's served them well in this regular season. I don't know if it's going to last in the playoffs because, you know, you're playing teams many times in a row and they're able to adjust and they'll change their mindsets a bit.
Olivia, you've asked the question that I was going to bring up. Does this thing that the Pacers have been doing that's so different and surprising work for them once they get into the postseason?
Probably not. If they have to play against a team like the Cavaliers and LeBron James, I don't think that would go particularly well for them, even though they've beaten the Cavaliers a few times this year.
Perhaps they need a lucky nun in the stands.
Full circle.
Even an unlucky nun. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Chris Herring of ESPN's 538 and Olivia Christian. She's the executive producer and host of The Game Last Night. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you again.